Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Sportive. It is a three-man show tonight. I'm John Martheller. I'm here with Stu.
Hey, John. How's it going?
You can't see me. I'm pointing to people's pictures on Zoom as if, number one, as if they can tell who I'm pointing to, and number two, as if it matters. This is a podcast. And also with us, Chicken Fingers 69.
What's up, fuckers?
It's an exceptional night because tonight we are going to be talking Twins. They start the playoffs, let's say today. Nobody's going to listen to this podcast before they go to bed tonight. So they start the playoffs today. They're playing Toronto. And we thought, what better time to, for once, have a timely review of our Twins
growth for the
season.
Sorry.
What did Sharkman do?
He lives in Toronto. I don't know. I think he still does.
Toronto. Sorry, I thought maybe something happened on Twitter. Like, I don't go to Twitter all that often, but when I do, it's just Chicken yelling at Dana Wessel, our good friend Dana Wessel. So,
I mean, no,
I thought maybe Sharkman did something on the Twitter.
No, I am just protecting myself. That's me.
It's defensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's any court in the land would see it the same way.
We should probably let people know that Broxy is not in jail for trying to murder an umpire. We should let people know that.
He's in jail for other reasons, but not because of umpire murder.
Yeah, he's just, it's not because of anything like that. So
God, he is something else. Just, those stories are fantastic. Oh, I love it so
I don't know about anyone else's household, but interesting gets dropped a lot more.
Interesting.
Whatever, anything a sour turn.
And for whatever reason, it's in like a Jerry Seinfeld voice.
Yes.
I don't know why it comes out as Jerry Seinfeld, but it does.
Yeah, now we're on to football season. So presumably, Brandon, whenever he's back on the podcast, we'll have an endless fund of stories about screaming at
football.
Screaming at youth football referees.
The most referee-intensive sport on the planet. This is going to be a disaster.
Hammering entirely about judgment calls that are made in a split second.
Great football game.
Nothing
that spot is terrible.
Holding. Holding.
Get your head out of here.
Oh my God. Oh.
Oh,
it's going to jail.
Holding.
Honestly, he was an underdog for the first one of us to go to jail. But I mean, I think it's happening. Yep.
There's been so much screaming about umpires and referees on this podcast, just so much. And Brandon would have been a solid fourth place. Maybe Stu would have been in the running for the last person to get arrested for yelling at a referee. But the fact that Brandon is just leapfrogged and he's miles down the road in first place, it's amazing.
He's like an Earl Weaver incarnate.
Greatest. Who's that guy? Somebody send me a clip. Maybe we talked about this on the podcast, but some minor league guy, Wally Backman, I think. Was it Wally Backman?
I was going to say
absolutely losing
Tuffel.
His mind.
I don't know. Tim Tuffel was another guy, Mets second baseman, but it's Wally Backman.
Just an absolute. That's Brandon. Anyway. All right. Let's talk. We'll start with number of wins. I'm excited about this one. The number of wins we predicted this year. Chicken did not send predictions, but he would have predicted zero. So unfortunately, Chicken finished in last place with his 0-162 prediction. In third place in the competition was actually me. I predicted 82 wins. And for a lot of the year, that was looking like a real good prediction. I was on the under side and I was wrong. Stu picked 85 wins. Again, looked good for a lot of the season. Unfortunately, the person who's not here, the winner was Brandon. 87 wins he predicted, and the Twins won 87 games.
How?
Right on it.
How?
At the time, I remember making fun of him for being optimistic. I think I saw the over-unders. Somebody sent out some kind of email about recapping the preseason over-unders, and I had forgotten that the Twins were, I think, 82.5 or something like that. And both Cleveland and obviously Chicago were supposed to be better than the Twins. The Twins were predicted to finish in third place from that over-unders, and Cleveland finished 10 games behind theirs and Chicago finished 22 behind theirs or something like that. Just something ridiculous. It was a total collapse, and that's what happens when, as Stu calls them, the godless Chicago White Sox just walk away.
Yep.
It couldn't happen to a worse franchise.
Nope. I'm glad for their suffering, and I hope their fans who are currently in jail are suffering as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now it's time for the real meat and potatoes here on the Bros and Turns as we run down everybody's picks. Let's start with the Bros. Stu got to go first. Stu, do you remember who you picked for
Not
Bro
at
was?
All. Not at all.
Your pick for Bro this year was Trevor Larnach.
Injuries.
No, not injuries. And your criteria was that he would hit 30 home runs this year. We
he
pressed you on it. We pressed you on it and made you say that he would hit 30 major league home runs this year.
I should have just weaseled. God damn it. I would have had it.
It wouldn't have helped anyway. Larnach hit 8 home runs in the major leagues this year. And in the minors, let's see here.
22.
I think he got 16 at St. Paul.
Oh, that's not so bad.
So even if you put together AAA in the major leagues, still got to.
I had so many bad predictions. I'm going to take that as just a minor loss.
I know. In Stu's defense, I think where you were going is that younger, kind of relatively positionless players are going to step up offensively. Mm-hmm. That's where you were going in your mind. And in that sense, you were right. You just had the name.
I definitely had the,
had the name right.
You just picked the one out of all of the potential candidates that didn't.
The only one who didn't.
The only one who didn't come good.
No, but you had the right concept.
Ah, Rick. Yeah, I'm honestly going to take that as I'm okay with that one. I'm not going to hold my head up high, but I'm not going to be sad.
Good concept.
Yep.
All right. Brandon's pick was Kenta Maeda. His criteria.
You fucking idiot.
Was an ERA under 3.6 this year.
Interesting.
Maeda had a 4.23 ERA this year. So that one is also a solid fail.
Yeah.
I will say, I do want to look up quick here his ERA after he was hurt. He pitched 4 times in April. He was on the disabled list for 6 weeks. Sorry, the injured list now. And he came back, and when he came back through the end of the season, he had a 3.3 ERA. So if you discount the injury, not actually a terrible pick from Brandon, but he was still wrong. So we give him 0 points. And he didn't show up anyway, so that's another negative 2 right there. My pick for Bro was Joe Ryan, which looked real good for a lot of the season. And then my criteria was that he threw 175 innings this year, based on the idea that if he had thrown 175 innings, he therefore must be good and stayed in the rotation all year. He did stay in the rotation all year. He went to heck in the middle of the year, supposedly because of a groin injury. He threw 161.2 innings. That's a solid 0. Even if you throw in the 5 or 10 he threw at St. Paul, you still don't get to 175. And 2 other Twin starters did throw 175, so you can't even blame. In the past, you could have blamed Rocco Baldelli for not using pitchers correctly, but not this year. Another solid 0 for the sportive on the Bros pick. So that was 0 for 3.
In a way, I won the Bro contest.
Well, you finished tied with the rest of us.
Was 0.
You finished tied,
you guys
tied
all
at 0.
Ones, and
it's
I
a
four-way
zeros. Tie for it's a four-way tie for nobody got anything right.
Yeah. Well, John, you got the closest of the three. I think that's fair to say. Mm.
Because Brandon's not here, I'll accept that. I think Brandon would argue, but that's okay.
No, Joe Ryan is. But wait, who's going to be a playoff starter?
It's true.
Not Kenta Maeda.
Joe Ryan
will be. So
do you ever think Kenta Maeda is just pissed that the, you know, he was pitching for the Dodgers and the Dodgers have obviously have amazing teams. So he's like, yeah, I'll pitch out of the bullpen. And he did it like 3 years in a row. And now the whole year it was like, well, Kenta Maeda can't pitch in the playoffs. He's amazing out of the bullpen. No one else could possibly learn to pitch out of the bullpen. It's got to be you. It's got to be you, Kenta. Meanwhile, Louis Varland, who was like a bounce back and forth starter all year, is now the best reliever the Twins have. So it's obviously not
questioning why Bailey Ober isn't on the. Are they? I don't like going.
I think people absolutely are. The whole year he was like.
I'm wondering
give up
why
two
he
runs
on
in the first inning, and then like, it would be fine.
Funderburk is on there, like for a long stretch guy. Why would you not want Bailey Ober?
Yeah, I think they were really worried about his innings count because he was way over where he'd been like every year before that. I think that's what it is. Like, I don't know if that's so, overly cautious or not. I don't know.
So is Joe Ryan though? I mean, yeah. I gotta believe Ryan threw 50 more innings this year than he'd ever thrown before.
They're all kind of like in undiscovered country right now. So I
don't know. Right. You do sort of feel like if this series goes three games and somehow the Twins advance, it does kind of feel like Bailey Ober would start game one of the divisional series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause that's a 5-game series. And so you would think they might throw over that first game and then line it up with Joe Ryan and Sonny Gray in games 2 and 3. But obviously, looking ahead to a potential division series is not something we're going to do.
You're insane. Like, you've lost.
People have been joking. I just want to say this on the podcast. People have been joking about, oh, what if they win a game, you're going to have a parade. I would absolutely go to a parade if the Twins win a playoff game.
There's no doubt.
If they win game one tomorrow and someone's like, all right, there's a parade going down Hennepin Avenue at 7:30. I'm like, all right, let's get the kids in the car. We need to banish this thing in the stupidest way possible. Like, who is the Timberwolves guy who was climbing on the scorer's table after they won that play?
Oh, wasn't it Pat Bev?
Yeah, Pat Bev. I forgot his name already. We're just straight up Pat Bev in it. The whole city is just going to Pat Bev it. Charles Barkley will make fun of us. I don't care. I'm in for the parade.
I can't argue. It's so mathematically impossible for it to have gotten this way. But if you're asking for my prediction, John, and I think you are, I think
I am.
Twins deserve to be favored. I think the Twins could absolutely beat Houston in the following series. And I will be shocked if they don't lose two games in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Shocked.
If they get to game three, it would be kind of amazing.
That would mean they won a game. That would happen. I will be stunned if that happens.
Yep.
So if they get more than three hits in Tuesday's game, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. And the Blue Jays just announced Berrios, former Twin, is starting game two.
So he started game two or game one?
The perfect amuse-bouche, if you will, that we just get killed by Jose Berrios in game two and in our season. Mm-hmm. It's setting up
17 strikeouts.
Yep.
The two losses, they will combine for over 30 strikeouts.
Yeah. The only run scored in two games will be a solo home run by Kyle Farmer in the fourth inning on Tuesday. After they're already down 5-0. I see it. My mind.
Why is this picture so clear?
Right.
It's so obvious when you said it out loud. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I know for a fact that they're good enough to win this series. I know there's like if Vegas has it dead even and they've got home field advantage. So, I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't win this series. Toronto's fine. They're not anything. They're not a fucking world beater. But history is just, it's there. And I know the team is young and it's guys who haven't had to deal with all this shit, but how can you bet for them at this point? How? It's impossible to me. I can't. I honestly think, okay, this is going to, let me just say this. I please extend grace to me for saying this.
Yep.
I think there's a better chance of the Vikings getting in the playoffs this year than the Twins advancing. I said it. I went out there. I went there. Okay. There.
I guess. Hold on. Let me observe that. Give me a second. Okay. Oh, wow. That's a lot to take in, because the Vikings are bad, but their November is easy. If they can get through this next stretch, get to November.
NFC's got gives you seven playoff spots. Someone that like eight and nine are
seven playoff spots. Yeah. And the NFC North is garbage.
Yep.
Maybe.
Tire fire.
Oh, you're high. They're gonna be 1-16.
Okay. that honestly that makes me feel better knowing that I'm a little out there.
But the November schedule is so freaking easy. Chicago's garbage.
So bad.
They're gonna split with Green Bay.
So bad. I just
wow, maybe.
But I mean, I think okay. Rational side of me tells me it's a down year for the Vikings, and the Twins are a good young ball club who don't have any connection to all the failure of the past. But you know this in your soul that it's I don't know how, but it's not gonna work.
The team, all of the players that were on the team, that the Twins team that lost the 18th straight playoff game, had no connection to the team that lost the first playoff game. And yet they still lost the 18th playoff game. So it happens.
Yeah. I mean,
but the Vikings are poopy. So
are you familiar with the work of Stephen King? You know how the clown, Pennywise,
the writer, Newman. Not the Iowa congressman?
No, not the Iowa. No, we're not. No,
I'm familiar with both. And you could go either way with this, I think.
Whichever way. We're talking about the less scary.
Chicken's just like, listen, I'm familiar with both. Big fan of both. I want to.
Come on now.
In the movie and the book, it's the place. It's not like it's every couple of years. Yeah. Pennywise comes back and pulls a little kid into the sewer and eats it. And it's just
so far no difference between the careers of the writer and the politician.
Didn't have any connection to the 50th kid that got pulled into the sewer.
Yeah.
It was the sewer was the connection, the location, not the kid.
What I'm saying is that Minnesota is the sewer.
You're right. And the roster, everybody says, well, the roster doesn't have any connection to the first team that lost. No, but it's the sewer.
It's geography, man.
Yeah.
It's an accident of geography that they're getting pulled into the sewer.
That's a great analogy. But the sewer doesn't care. Pennywise sewer. The Twins are the Target Field is the Pennywise sewer.
Yes.
I love it.
There. Thank you for helping me work through this. I've been trying to put my finger on what the issue is. Because I know it's not the player's fault. They're not cursed by this.
It's not the kid's fault. No.
They're in the town. That's their dad got a job in Derry, and this is what happens. Okay. I'm turning the floor back over to you guys. I need to deal with this for a little bit.
You heard it here first. Stu thinks that he has a better chance of playing in the NFL than going to the moon. All right. So we're going to move on to the turd section. And I'm just going to warn you.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to warn you. It's not going to go well.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to win again.
Stu's pick for the turd of the year was Johan Duran. His criteria was that Duran would go on the 60-day injured list. That did not happen.
That didn't happen.
Duran had all things considered a pretty good year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He threw a couple of absolute laser beams that killed a couple of catchers, and he only had two or three absolute disaster outings. He did do something I've never seen before in all of my years of watching baseball, when he wild pitched in the tying run in the ninth inning by throwing one that bounced behind a guy. I've seen guys wild pitch in run. I'd never seen a wild pitch quite that wild to do that. And it was so wild that the Twins tried to challenge and say that it hit the batter and the ball was dead. That's a wild pitch right there. Brandon's pick. And this one, I think, is the coup de grace of the whole Bros and Turds exercise this year. Brandon's picks for Turd this year was Max Kepler, a guy that was widely hated. We bullied Brandon into setting low criteria. His criteria was that Kepler would have an OPS under 700. Kepler had a terrible first couple months of the season, then suddenly turned it around and became Babe Ruth in the second half, ended up with an 816 OPS, which was the fifth highest on the team, behind only the young triumvirate of Royce Lewis and Ed Julian and Matt Wallner, and also was behind Ryan Jeffers, but otherwise was their best hitter. That's about as bad as Turd picks get right there.
Yeah.
Except for the year that I picked Jorge Polanco and he made the All-Star team. That was a bad year. That was a bad year for me. And my Turd pick was actually not bad. My Turd pick was Christian Vasquez this year. I thought it'd be terrible. The criteria was that he reminds us of Tim Laudner. I just want to say that Vasquez this year had an OPS of 598.
Yikes.
In Tim Laudner's most famous season, the season that he hit 185, earning the nickname Buck 85, Laudner had a 595 OPS.
Mm-hmm.
Vasquez actually had basically the same year as Tim Laudner's Buck 95 year. So I'm going to go ahead and give myself a point for that one.
You win.
Yeah.
So,
I think you swept both categories, John.
How many at-bats did he get? Because neither of their two catchers got hurt all season. They basically just rotated, and neither of them ever got injured.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember, I don't even know who their third catcher is.
Do they have
Vasquez? No, nobody else caught this year, I don't think. Hold on.
Did they call in like Sandy Leon for like a week?
Yeah, I told you.
Probably we just forgot about it.
It did. I don't remember it at all. It wasn't long.
Nope. No other player played catcher for the Twins this year.
Damn.
Two guys rotated.
Vasquez and Jeffers. And that was
it. That's got to be unique in the modern era.
Yeah. It's such an injury prone position just because you'd be a crazy person to play it.
Vasquez had 355 plate appearances this year. Jeffers had 335.
He had more than Jeffers, though.
Yeah.
I think earlier in the year, Chicken, I think they were definitely going 2-1, Vasquez and Jeffers. That kind of balanced it out when everyone figured out that Jeffers was the much better option.
I don't remember that at all. Okay.
If you had looked on July 1st, I think Vasquez would have had 75% of the plate appearances. And then the second half, Jeffers really turned it. I mean, it's still when you're the catcher, it's still like, he's getting all the appearances, by which I mean he's playing four out of every six games every week. But
which is probably about right. If you want him to have actually a long career at that position, you almost have to do it like that. Yeah. At this point.
Sure.
And Vasquez is signed for two more years and is already 32. So he's well into his drop off years. And he
still runs faster than Correa.
There was at least once this year. I'm trying to remember exactly how this happened, but the Twins were in the late innings and were out of players, and Vasquez got on, and so they had to pinch run for him with Jeffers, which is just hilarious because it's like pinch running for me with Stu. It's better, but it's not good. So anyway, I feel like the Bros and Turds every year is just an excuse for us to feel bad about ourselves at the end of the year. And I think we're right there.
It makes the listeners happy, I think, just to watch us feel shame.
I think the listeners get to hear us feel shame every time we do a podcast. So
this is true.
That's good. That's what I've got for Bros and Turds. So, Stu, your prediction is they lose in two games to Toronto. Yep. Chicken, your prediction is that they lose in two games to Toronto. Mm-hmm. My prediction is also that they lose in two games to Toronto.
And 30 strikeouts. Plus.
That seems low.
It's possible.
I don't feel like it got enough attention that the Twins set a major league record for strikeouts, and it wasn't close. They looked all year like they were going to break it, and then they broke it with a week and a half to go or whatever. Crazy. And also that Carlos Correa, you know, you knew he hit into a lot of double plays, but he was the 17th guy in baseball history to hit into 30 double plays in a year. In all of baseball history, It's unbelievable to me that he managed to hit into that. I remember Kirby Puckett hitting like 20 double plays one year, and everyone was like, this is why, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to anybody ever. And Correa hit into 30 this year. Unbelievable. He had to lead the league by five. It's just, there's no possible way you can hit into that many double plays, and yet he did it. So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we can look back at the Twins this year, and it's a little strange because they played reasonably well after the All-Star break. They've been like a 95-win majors.
Second best. They're really good right now.
It's been, and the first half of the year was so disgusting that it's almost been hard to turn around and be like, actually, I kind of like this. Like, they have likable players who hit a lot. Everybody loves Royce Lewis. Everybody loves Matt Wallner. Ed Julian is French Canadian, so Chicken hates him, but everybody else likes Ed Julian. So it's they have young, fun players, and you have to say that the attitude, the way this team is played, fans' attitude towards this team, everything about the Minnesota Twins turned around when Byron Buxton got hurt.
I'm going to look. I knew Julian's Canadian, which it means I don't like him. But if he's from like one of like Alberta or Manitoba,
no, he's from Quebec.
I knew it'd be something. That's what I'm not going to look it up then. Damn it. That was the lead of all the, what, seven provinces? Nine?
Your least favorite province.
40? How many provinces they got? 40 up there? It's the 40th ranked province.
I think you round up. Yeah.
He was born in Quebec City.
God, I knew it.
He went to school in Quebec City. You don't get more. You don't get more French Canadian than Quebec City.
I don't like it. They. I don't like baseball. I don't know, but I love Morneau and I love Toski.
All right. How about this? I'm going to see if you make a comeback here.
They were from Manitoba, and they were from Morneau's from Vancouver. Toski's from like Manitoba, something. So Western provinces. Mm-hmm. I don't know if those Eastern provinces, Nova Scotia, Quebec,
the Maritimes,
the Maritimes.
The Maritimes, John.
That's the Sidney Crosby. I don't trust them.
I don't trust them. Those are soft provinces. Mm-hmm. You can't trust anything about them. Nathan McKinnon, Sidney Crosby provinces.
I like the open. I don't like the ones that are forested. I like the open, the prairie provinces.
What's your top province? Why is it Saskatchewan?
Well, it's definitely Saskatchewan. It's.
I'm going to push back on that. I think it's Alberta.
Well, the things I like about Saskatchewan, Alberta has more of. So, in that sense, it's hypocritical. But
the heart wants what the heart wants. I think we all know this.
Yeah, and I don't. I don't like. I don't like the Calgary Flames. I think that's probably part of it.
I mean, Alberta has a Saddle Dome. Saskatoon doesn't have a Saddle Dome. That's my metric for this one.
All right. So, fair enough.
But if the Flames play there, that would obviously be
they do.
Those fuckers.
At least they used to.
They might have their own spot now.
It's probably called the Rogers Center. I think all the hockey arenas in Canada are now called the Rogers Center. I can't keep track of all of them anymore.
I want to see if you turn around on this. I was looking up to make sure where Ed Julian was from on Wikipedia. He's from Quebec City. He went to school in Quebec City, but under the heading, this is on his Wikipedia page, under the heading personal life, usually it's like, here's your family. Here's who your child of. The only note on the personal life section of Ed Julian's Wikipedia page is as follows. In August 2018, Julian was arrested in Auburn, Alabama for public intoxication and criminal littering. He was sentenced to perform community service.
Hell yeah.
And then if you click on the reference, I really wish that I could share my screen because it is the absolute Ed Julian after the worst night you've ever seen in your life photo. And it's I feel like you could relate to this, Chicken.
I have really questions. Why is someone from Quebec City in Auburn, Alabama?
He went to Auburn.
Yeah.
It still doesn't explain it. And it's not a good enough explanation for me. I don't Doesn't add up.
It doesn't explain what he did, but this mugshot is amazing.
Why is someone from Quebec City going to Auburn? I know, obviously, for baseball.
Yeah.
Well, it's fishy. I mean, you know, the NAFTA only goes so far. Ooh,
wow. Oh, wow.
That is a hell
of a John is showing us a picture.
Oh, good lights.
Yep. Man, I'm just transported back to St. Cloud State. That is some memories right there.
This is like what every St. Cloud State graduation picture looks like.
Oh, it's beautiful.
He kind of looks like Zelensky's drunk brother.
All right. I'll allow it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm glad I figured out how to share my screen, because that's just good. Well, what were we talking about before we started talking about Ed Julian's criminal history?
Provinces.
Which province is chicken's favorite?
And he said Saskatoon. I said Alberta. And yeah, you haven't said goddamn word one yet, John.
What is my favorite province?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quit dodging the question.
Great question. British Columbia.
Okay.
He likes Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's just an extension. I knew it was coming.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm simple.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan is just extended North Dakota.
Yes, that's why I like it.
That's why you like it?
Yes. You wouldn't even know if I placed you in Saskatchewan or North Dakota, you wouldn't know. You'd have 50-50 shot. I like that.
It's true. My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, is from basically 15 miles south of the border in North Dakota. And that's where they got married up there. They got married at her childhood farm. And I'm told it's not in Saskatchewan. But honestly, you couldn't tell the difference whether it was or wasn't. So, I don't know what to say. It's like Ortonville. Ortonville looks exactly like Saskatchewan. You could drive from Benson to Ortonville. You'd never be able to tell whether you're in North Dakota, South Dakota, not the good parts of North Dakota either. Just the flattest, dumbest part. Anyway,
love it.
I don't need to talk about the Benson to Ortonville drive, except for my buddy Noah, who lives in Benson now. And shout out to Noah for still listening to the podcast as he drives back and forth. Were you talking about something before we started? See, this is what middle age is like. Ed what Julian, were we talking about before we started talking about our favorite provinces?
Predictions. We made our predictions about the
we're all
two game sweeps.
Oh, okay.
That was
John said two game sweep also.
Yes.
Yeah. And Kyle Farmer getting a fourth inning
Derry,
home run.
Maine, right. And Pennywise.
All right. What I want to hear now is I want to hear the top six. Not your top six province. Is it the top six provinces?
Oh,
that would be kind of amazing if it wasn't. No. But no, we're going to go.
You can't do six saddledoms. That'd be too many saddledoms.
Just engineering-wise, it doesn't make NHL arenas. They're all the same. 6-5-4-3-2-1. All the Rogers Center.
It doesn't make any sense. So, no, my top six, it's It is still baseball related. I went back to the last time the Minnesota Twins won a playoff game. That's 2004, John. And I just wanted to go with the top six guys from the 2004 Minnesota Twins.
All right.
Now, these aren't the best players.
Nope.
They're the most noteworthy names. These are just the top six guys.
These are the guys.
What's the criteria of being a top guy? Just
a top guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to say his name. John's going to smile and you're kind of going to, I'm going to kind of giggle. That's the criteria. We have three honorable mentions before we get to the top six.
So we're going
to
name nine total.
There were so many honorable mentions.
There are so many. Seriously.
The whole roster was an honorable
mention. You're
going
to go to Baseball Reference and see this roster, and you're just going to go, wow. Like the apes in 2001 looking at the mop.
I've got one I think you're going to name. All right, but go ahead. Okay. I'll let you, go ahead.
Okay, here are three honorable mentions before we get to the top six. Joe Roa, R-O-A.
Who? I don't.
Henry Blanco.
Old Mango
Hank
Face.
Blanco, here's a catcher. Yep. One was
good. Old Mango Face.
Hank White.
And Jose Offerman.
Jose Offerman was on the team. 2004 Twins?
Jose Offerman was on the team.
Was he on the playoff roster? He couldn't have been on the playoff.
I did not look up playoff roster, John. I just went the full 2004 thing. Okay. Number six. This might be who Chicken was thinking of. Rochester's own Michael Restovich.
That's what I thought was coming. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is, again, he would have been much higher in any other year, I think. But
yeah.
He is a guy.
Did you guys?
He is a guy.
And he's actually Matt Wallner's real father. Did you guys know that?
No, shut up.
Yeah, none of that's true.
Thank you.
They just seem so similar. Minnesota guys.
Michael Restovich is like 3 years younger than me. Mulder is like 4 years older.
I was doing the math there. Listeners, I thought I was making a joke, and I wish you could have seen Stu and Chicken's face after I said that. They both, just the computations that were going on for both of them, that were like, well, it's possible. No, it's not possible. Well, I get
there's a lot of dirtbags in Forest Lake, so it just makes sense.
Just the absolute confusion instead of the joke of just saying, yes, Michael Restovich and Matt Wallner, both native Minnesotans, kind of lumbering outfielders that hit the ball a long way. They're the very similar people. That didn't land at all. Just the possibility. We can say that the possibility was definitely in their minds.
Yeah, I've been to Forest Lake. It could have happened. Mm-hmm. Number five, Augie Ojeda. See, right there. Yep. I'm sorry, Brandon. I'm sorry, Brandon's not here for number four. But number four is Terry Tiffy.
Yeah,
we're still in the Tiffy time.
Why did Brandon need to be here for Terry Tiffy?
I just think it makes him happy to hear Terry Tiffy's name. I think he was his pick to click 1 year. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The first year of the podcast, Brandon was predicting the Terry Tiffy.
Inaugural Broxy bro.
Exactly.
And he probably hit like 120.
Yeah. Number three, this guy played 30 games for the Twins, even though I don't remember him ever being on the Twins. Pat Borders.
No.
Former Toronto Blue Jay, Pat Borders.
I was going to say, was he Canadian or was he just
a Blue Jay. I think he was on Blue Jays.
If you play 30 years for the Blue Jays, you're automatically a Canadian citizen. But I don't know where he came from.
I'm going to look him up.
Yeah.
He's American. Never mind.
Yeah. So, yeah, played like a full month for the Twins. Who knew?
I don't think that's right. I'm pretty sure this is not right.
It's right there, John. It's the internet can't look.
Pat Borders we looked him up. Pat Borders was 41 years old that year playing.
Yes,
he played
at least another season after that.
Amazing. Amazing.
Number two, JD the real deal, Durbin.
Is he a first round pick? He's a first round pick.
Oh yeah.
JD Durbin was the AJ Thielen of the Minnesota Twins.
And number one,
Puka Shell necklace, JD Durbin.
Yes.
For some reason, I associate him with like a puka shell necklace, like Smash Mouth. Kind of looked like a like he would go to Smash Mouth concerts.
Yes.
Like spiked.
Spiked hair.
Tipped hair.
Had like a tattoo of the Sublime album cover across his shoulder blades. Just
yes, yes.
I looked him up, and this is all 100% accurate.
Yeah, had a pit bull who had ended up like biting the finger off a kid. Just one of those guys.
JD Durbin has definitely smoked weed out of an apple.
It's just everything about him is open. It's open to possibility. So okay, and number one, and I think you both knew them. This one was coming. Terry Mulholland. Terry Mulholland.
Just
was also a 41-year-old on the Twins that year.
Multi. Just he was the old timer on the movie Major League. That yep. old son of a bitch that
just it smells like Ben Gay all the time.
they had
was
two
still
different...
on the Orioles when he pitched for the Twins. Doesn't make any sense how, but he was dual rostered.
Yeah.
The Twins had two different 41-year-olds on the roster that year. Yeah. And that was a team that won a playoff game.
Yep. So that's I didn't even mention our guy Lou Ford. That's how fast that 2004 team was with guys.
That's he didn't crack top nine.
No. So yeah,
that was Lou Ford 41 yet?
I know he played. No. He played in the that like fun little minor league team on Long Island again this year. Yes. So he's still playing. Yeah,
Lou Ford's like my age. He's
he's just an absolute lifer. God bless him for being a lifer like that. That's just good for him.
That's a good list, guys.
Lou Ford is 39 still. Henry Blanco led the team in games caught that year.
Also, there were two Terrys in that top six. I just realized that. That's a lot of Terrys. You don't get a lot of Terrys these days.
He caught more games than LaCroix. Did they just use LaCroix's DH that season?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure LaCroix caught a few games. That was before LaCroix made a Hall of Famer cry with his catching ability.
Wait, wasn't Joe Mauer on that team?
2004, that's after the trade.
What?
Yeah, because
why was Joe Mauer not catching more games? Why didn't Joe Mauer catch more games than Blanco?
Wasn't that the year that he got hurt?
Was that where he got the knee injury?
Oh, is that that's why.
That must be it.
That makes sense.
It's and again, this is like 20 years ago.
A lot of good guys on that team. Good, I like it.
That was
Joe
a good
Roa. I thought Joe Roa was the guy who works for MinPost. But that's John Rowe.
Ugh.
That's a good top six right there, Stu.
That's how long it's been. Just a bunch of like old 60-year-old guys were on that team.
Where were you guys in 2000? Where were you guys when the Twins last won a play? I was in graduate school, and now I'm in my early 40s.
Let's see. My youngest was 6 months old.
And now your youngest is
a sophomore in
her second year of college.
Yep. So what are you going to do? It's just, and again, it's ties right back around. We all know that this Twins team is good enough to win a playoff series, and none of us think it's going to happen.
Yep.
None of us. It's a real bummer, but my prediction record on this show, I think, is the most optimistic of the four of us. I can't even get there, man.
Ugh. When the Twins lost in the playoffs that year in 2004, that was Joe Roa's last appearance.
Oh, man.
That was the end of his career. I don't remember him at all. But
I don't either.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. It says that he was... this is so stupid. But we'll see if you can guess this. He was called the Roa Constrictor by what? He was frequently called the Roa Constrictor by what? Twin Cities radio personality.
Paul Allen.
Nope.
Oh, God.
I'll give you each Two more guesses. Otherwise, it's going to go on.
2004. Yubei?
That's a good one, but no.
Dark Star.
Yes.
John
nails it.
Come Look on, at it.
Awesome. Yep.
Good job, well, John.
R.I.P.
Man, that's beautiful.
The strangest life of any Twin Cities media personality.
Well, Ed Dubay comes in.
Dubay kind of in a less heartwarming.
He's making and he's got time to make ground too.
Yeah.
So many nights you'd be like, oh, I wonder who's on CCL. I'm talking like driving out on the prairie in the middle of
yes.
when there's nothing on
the only station.
Who's on CCL? And it's just Dark Star and Tom Kelly mumbling at each other about horse racing for an hour. No baseball, no sports talk, just grumbling at each other about horse racing.
I like the seven. I like number seven in the third race.
Kelly's on a payphone from Hudson. He's betting on the dogs.
He's talking puppy dogs out in Hudson. Oh, TK and the Zubas. That's better times.
Better times.
Oh, they were times.
God, do you know how much I want to be wrong about this?
I mean, really everyone wants you to be wrong, but you know that every Twins fan is thinking the same as you.
Yeah, I want to be wrong so bad.
There's optimistic Twins fans out there, but you give them two beers and they're going to say the exact same as you.
Yeah, I went back.
What could happen tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon is that the Twins go up like 6-0 early.
Oh, God.
And everybody's just going to panic. That'd be the worst thing that could happen. And then it gets. So, like in the second inning, it's 6-0, and then the third inning, it's 6-1, and then the fourth inning, it's 6-3, and in the fifth inning, it's 6-5, and then everything's just gonna.
It's 6-5, and Griffin Jacks is coming in to pitch the.
Oh, eight.
There's just riots in the streets.
Yep,
people are outside tearing trees out of the ground. Oh. They don't even know why. People are just pulling saplings from the ground and throwing them.
I'm terrified
into the street for bonfires.
The TV announcers aren't going to understand what's going on when Farmer hits a grand slam in the second inning to make it 6-0 and nobody cheers. Everybody just looks at each other, terrified in the crowd.
It's like, oh, now what? Now what?
All the Blue Jays fans are excited, but the Twins fans are remarkably quiet in this building.
I went back and read.
There's just fires, the seats on fire.
I went back and read Gleeman's analysis of the 2004 series against the Yankees. And I mean, Gleeman still had that Gleeman writing style, and he picked the Twins in five in that series. Someone who's perceived as one of the more negative guys in town, I'd argue he's realistic, not negative, picked the Twins in that series. And I think that's the last time he's picked them in anything. And I think he's not wrong.
Pragmatic.
He's still getting over. He's still not over it. None of us are over it.
No. Well, we all know. I mean, they also got fucked so hard in that series. I mean,
super hard. Have we seen the umpire crew yet?
It's because he's not in it, and Angel Hernandez is not in it. So,
okay. It's a good start.
They're giving some new kids a chance to build a repertoire.
Then they get to game two, and it's like, how is Eric Gregg behind the plate for this one? What's going on here?
Yeah, that's what we're worried about.
Eric Gregg, Joe West. Absolute. Who is that guy that Gardy got into? Hunter Wendelstedt.
Oh man, he hates
he's
him.
The
he hates him so bad.
He's the umpire that screwed the Royals in like '81.
Denkinger.
Yes.
I cannot remember. My brain is so dumb. I can't. There's
that's
no reason
remarkable
to know that right
that
away.
Yes. It's a play at first.
Walking Andohar lost his goddamn mind.
God, that's really. I'm old as fuck, remembering exact outs from 1981.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there were three channels on TV that time. At that
I suppose
you put on the live sports that was on. That you get your grubby little paws on, and you see this empire just eat shit, and this best starting pitcher in the majors loses goddamn mind. It was so. Anyway, that's us remembering guys and.
Now we're going to move into remembering some TV channels about
good list.
your childhood was all Cubs games and Atlanta games. And somehow I have a vague memory that somehow like WWOR out of New York would broadcast Mets games. And somehow that was on TV as well.
But not in Minnesota.
Not in Minnesota.
They were like a regional type of, I think it was like up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
It would be very Ortonville if somehow we got WWOR, but we didn't have ESPN until like 1994.
Sounds about right.
It was MSC that we didn't have till the mid 90s. Like no ESPN2, no MSC, but we got the Eastern Seaboard plus one random cable distributor in the middle of Minnesota. That would be, seems right on the nose, actually, now that you mention it.
Why is Broxy tweeting right now? That son of a bitch.
What the fuck?
I'm gonna send him an invite right now. Get him on here.
You want to guess what he's tweeting about?
Yes. No, I don't want
to guess. It's a new segment. What's Broxy tweeting about during the podcast?
Shoes.
That's a great guess. No.
Form-fitting t-shirts.
Also, tremendous guess. He's only got one other thing that he's about, other than yelling at umps. That's four things. We'll take yelling at umps off the table.
I'm going to say random musical acts I've never heard of.
God damn it. He's got five things. That's not it. Random basketball players and their contracts. He is upset about the San Antonio Spurs giving point guard Devin Vassell a 5-year contract.
Isn't that our friend from 93X? No, it's Dana West. Yes. Never mind.
That's Dana's alternate personality. Oh, yes. Vassell. My name is Devin Vassell. Why is Brandon randomly mad about the San Antonio point guard?
He says that so San Antonio gave this guy a big contract, and Brandon's comment is, it's not my money, but the guy is barely league average. Popovich, I assume. Mm-hmm. And Belichick seem to be having a watch me prove that time has passed me by. I think he's saying that the guy's not worth the money, and Popovich must be their GM.
Yes,
yeah, the Spurs, and so he's coach GM. So he's upset. He's not on the podcast because he's upset about
the San Antonio Spurs signing a backup point guard.
Now, far be it from me to yell at someone or tease somebody for not being on the podcast. But...
All right. Well. If we're dissecting in detail Brandon's tweets, that's probably a good sign that we should be done podcasting.
We can be done.
Probably, yeah. It's 10 o'clock.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.